It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Hey, welcome back to the Labatt Studio, everybody. It's time for Ask Ross, presented by 409tailgateclub.com. We've got your questions, Ross is going to answer them. Go to the app, Keystone Sports, download it from the App Store on your phone, and there you'll find the Ask Ross tab. You can ask a question, and if your question is deemed the number one question of the week, you'll receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You get some sauces and rubs, and we will announce the winner early in quarter number four. Okay, house cleaning out of the way. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right, David in Lancaster, question number one. Is there something about Michael Bennett that makes him a center instead of a guard? And would it benefit his NFL prospects to switch or have more time at the guard position? Thanks.
Yeah, I think he'd probably be a little undersized for guard. Probably not quite the arm length that you'd ideally like to have at guard. I think his initial quickness and athleticism is better suited for center. You know, if you look at the guards they had last year, Thorpe and Gonzalez, those are big boys. You know, I think typically these days you'd like your guard to be a 315, 320 pound people mover, maybe even heavier than that. And that's not Michael. I guess they say he's like 310. I don't know. He looks to me like he's like 305, 300. It probably would benefit. It's interesting. If you are considered like an elite center and a future NFL starter, then it doesn't matter at all. And he's better served by just mastering center and having people say, that guy's going to be our center for 10 years. If you are not that, if you are the, well, maybe he could start down the line, but he's not a surefire guy, then you are much better served by having playing time at both guard and center. It helped Connor McGovern tremendously that he had the experience at both, because a lot of people don't know this, but NFL teams have between 8 to 10 offensive linemen on the active roster. I've seen as low as 7. I would say the average is probably 8.4. A lot have 8. And a bunch have 9. Most teams I was on had 9, but here's the thing. Only 7 suit up for the game. So you almost always have one guy that can back up both tackles. And then the other guy can back up both guards and center. I think Bennett is good enough that he could probably be a guy that you'd feel comfortable with going in at guard, like you'd be okay with it. But I don't think you'd feel great about that. Whereas Connor McGovern is like a guy, either guard, okay, fine, center, okay, fine. Bennett, center, great. Guard, nah, I don't know about him going against some of those guys in one-on-one pass pro. So I think it hurts him. I think he really needs to have an elite year so that people look at him as a 10-year starting center and draft him high. Because if he's not that, then I think the lack of experience at guard hurts him, because there will be some other bigger, thicker kids that they look at being more favorable in that fourth, fifth, sixth round frame.
All right. This question comes from Jason in Petersburg, PA. He says, hey, Ross, I always enjoy your insight when it comes to the defensive line. Sometimes players transition from D-tackle to D-end or vice versa. Which, in your opinion, is the easiest to transition to, and does it differ for each player? Thanks, guys, for all of your excellent insight.
So I'm not sure I totally understand the question. It's if you're transitioning from D-end to D-tackle, or linebacker to D-end, or what?
I think it's D-tackle to D-end, or D-end to D-tackle.
Correct. It's all across the line, really, which is the easiest.
Nobody goes from D-tackle to D-end.
It's only one way.
It's only one way.
Yeah. Almost, here's a good way to describe it. Almost every position in the sport, you rarely see guys going from a position where guys are usually bigger to a position where guys are usually smaller or more athletic, right? So you see high school tight ends become, I'm sorry, high school receivers become college tight ends. You see some high school tight ends become college offensive linemen. You see, D ends become D tackles. Linebackers become D ends. Safeties become linebackers. Corners become safeties, etc. So I'm going to choose to answer the question going from linebacker to D end or D end to D tackle. And I'm going to say that D end to D tackle is an easier transition. Either way, your hand is in the ground. Either way, you're responsible for a gap. Linebacker to D end, you're going from being in a 2-point stance and running free to hand in the dirt, taking on a block at the point of attack. It's a lot different. And you can ask guys like Tar Burton or some of these other guys. Sometimes it goes great. Sometimes it's a real adjustment for these guys that have never had to do it before. It's just very, very different than what they are accustomed to. I would say that's an easy question to answer.
And Penn State's most famous example of D end to D tackle would be one, Anthony Settle.
Right. The Keystone Kickoff Show is brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We are your source for Penn State football news 52 weeks a year. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, and KeystonesportsNetwork.com.
Or How about this? We're available anywhere podcasts can be found, including however the heck you're listening to it right now. Unless you're listening on the radio, which if you are, that's awesome. But any way you can listen to a podcast, you can listen to this show. Anyway.
We never stop talking Penn State football. There you go. Ross's
Questions in, boys. Two questions
I'm good.
In.
All right, next question comes from Nick in Berwick. It seems James Franklin is a pretty loyal guy. With that being said, do you think he would ever consider getting a transfer quarterback if there's a more talented guy out there? For example, Chase Bryce from Clemson just went into the portal, but Penn State has Sean Clifford. Just interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
That's the second consecutive really easy question to answer, which is he absolutely would consider it. If there was a guy that was going to come in that was better, he would absolutely consider that. You know, think about some of these guys that have transferred lately, the Jalen Hurts of the world. You think he would have taken Justin Fields? I do. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
I mean, some of these guys, yeah. Joe Burrow, yeah.
He
would be a fool if he didn't.
All right, let's keep moving on. This comes from Mike in Wexford. He says, given the success of the program and the resulting carousel of assistant coaches as a byproduct, how do you think Penn State compares against elite programs like Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU over the recent years? Are they losing top coaches at a similar, worse, or better rate? And do you guys think there needs to be a little level of stability to drive the team performance to the next level?
I think they're losing people at a lesser level than those others, and that the level is commensurate with the success that they've had. LSU just lost everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Aranda went to Baylor. Joe Brady went to the Panthers. I mean, they had like 18 guys go pro early to the NFL draft who are all – I mean, LSU just lost everybody. Alabama loses a ton. We've mentioned Clemson earlier in the show about Jeff Scott. And I think the only reason why Venables doesn't go is because Venables makes a crazy amount of money and likes being just the D coordinator. So – I think Penn State's coaching losses are very much commensurate with where they are, which is a top 10 program. Penn State is a top 10 football program. That is really hard to be.
Yeah.
And they are that over the last 4 or 5 years, without question. They are a top 10 program in the country, which is really, really, really hard to be.
And the other thing about that is that the three of the losses during this offseason were coaches moving on to promotions, right? Ricky Ronnie to a head coach.
Parker
to OC. Sean
Spencer to the
NFL. So one was by choice. Lime Grover, that was a choice. And I think the wide receiver coach was just there. They haven't found their wide receiver coach yet. So if you're looking at it, when coaches are getting promoted, I think that's different.
If you're a wide receiver coach, you're always looking for greener pastures, I think. Let's just
that's
say
true.
It, too. You're looking to climb the ladder.
All right. This one comes from Megan in Bellefonte. With all the coaching changes lately, yes, I've noticed that position coaches don't always coach a position that they themselves played. Do you think that is a disadvantage? And how exactly do they teach skills that they might not have learned firsthand?
Really good question. Probably the best question we've gotten so far, Megan.
Leader in the clubhouse.
And I would tell you, I always think your best bet is to coach a position that you played. And I would try to do that as much as possible. But it's not realistic. And I also think, like, I'll give you an example. I think I could be a pretty darn good D-line coach because I know what O-linemen are thinking. I know the O-line techniques. And I know the things that give those techniques trouble. And there's a school of thought, like before Josh McDaniels became the Patriots offensive coordinator, he spent a couple years as a defensive quality control coach. Before Mangini became the Patriots defensive coordinator, he spent a couple years on the offensive side of the ball. So when you get a real good feel for one side of the ball, then you go to the other one, you know how the other side of the ball thinks. You know how to attack them. You know how to attack protections and things like that. You know what the conflict is for certain players and their responsibilities. So I would say, Megan, as much as possible, you want to keep people at the positions they played. But you look at it and I don't know, you know, Jim McNally, Dante Scarnecchia. I think McNally played offensive line. I don't think Dante Scarnecchia did. He's probably the best offensive line coach ever. So as long as that person puts the time in and they're able to really learn how to coach that position, they can. One more.
Okay, let's go to Dan in Berwick. If Penn State is in need of a number one wide receiver to step up in this new offense with a new offensive coordinator, how can Penn State allow Hippenhammer to skip spring ball altogether, yet consider playing him in the fall? What are your guys' thoughts?
My thoughts are Franklin probably at some point promised him he'd be able to play baseball and doesn't want to go back on his promise. He probably told Hippenhammer, we'd love to have you in the spring, but didn't force him to, and Hippenhammer doesn't want to force them to, and they're going to play the best guys in the fall, period. If KJ Hamler played baseball, I got news for you. He'd be starting and playing every snap. They're going to play the best guys. That's what matters.
All right, that's it for quarter number three and Ask Ross from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. We're going to finish strong. Quarter number four is coming up next.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.